Thank you for listening to the Streams Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. We are a community that strives to know Jesus and make him known. If you like our podcast, subscribe and leave us a great rating on Apple Podcasts. Thank you, and we hope you enjoy.
Welcome to Streams Church. This is really a wonderful group of people. I just want to give you a shout out because I see so much generosity from all the people that give. It's just such it just blows me away, honestly. Like, even recently, we got a donation for some of these lights that are kind of going out. So if you've ever streamed and you're like, I wonder why there's this, like, red, orange, rose glow on the person speaking, it's because our lights are going out. So anyways, we just got a donation of about $4,000 that came in to help with some of our lights. Praise the Lord. So I just always see you guys being so generous, and I just pray that God will continue to bless you. So thank you so much for that. And I am excited about Owen's World. That's a new place. It's right on Dysart. But this is really an opportunity for you to invite somebody, a neighbor, a friend, say, hey, we're going to head out. It's Beat the Heat Day, so you can come hang out. We're going to get some pizzas, some Cokes. The kids can play the video games and stuff like this. But this is a good chance for you to kind of invite somebody that may not be, you know, super comfortable of going straight into a Sunday service. This is a chance where we can be missional and invite somebody out. So we were praying about it as a staff and thinking, okay, should we do a vacation Bible school on this summer? So some of the younger generation, when you say VBS or vacation Bible school, they're like, what is that? So back in the 80s, you put a banner and it said VBS and you'd have hundreds of kids come. The last couple of years, we've been running about 30 or 40, and my favorite part is just kids, and I see such a heart for the volunteers. But this year, we says, you know what, we're going to try something different. Let's see if we can explore different ways. That's why we're doing the Fall Festival. That's why we did the Easter Egg Glow in the Dark, to invite the community, because it seems like VBS isn't quite hitting. So we're just praying, and we're coming up with different opportunities to invite the community in with Bingo Night and this Owen's World. So anyways, be praying for that. And if God lays somebody to invite to that, please do. So we appreciate that. All right, we are going through the book of Colossians. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me. We're going to be covering the end section of chapter 1, starting in verse 24. And I love this series. We really want to be focused in on the Bible. And the book of Colossians really talks about your identity is in Christ. Or God, as you follow him, begins to transform your life to where you are a new person. And the qualities that he has begins to weave into your life. So love and patience and generosity and peace and goodness, these types of traits are woven into your life. And I know it might sound weird, but like the person that you see here is not the person I was 20 years ago. As a matter of fact, I would say the very best parts of Sean are because of what Christ has done in my life. And I am so convinced of that. That's why I always continue on pointing you to Scripture and to God, because the more that you spend time with God, the more that he will give you those attributes as well. And I believe the very best person that you can be is one following Jesus. I'm just convinced of that. So anyways, that's what Paul is talking about in this book of Colossians. And so we are going to dive right in. And the questions that we're going to look at today, here's a big one that's covered in Scripture, is why do we suffer? Why is there physical pain? What's the point of suffering? Paul talks a little bit about that. Number two, what are the secrets and mysteries of the Scriptures? Are there certain undiscovered mysteries? Am I the only one who watches documentaries? You know those like revealed mysteries and secrets, and you're like, ooh, the four founders hid some special space room underneath the White House. Let's go see that, you know? Like, okay, we're gonna talk about that. And then number three, this is one you probably have not heard of. It's the scientific evidence of power of four. Let me say that again. What is the scientific evidence of the power of four? So stay tuned. We'll cover that last. Let's go ahead and pray as we open God's word. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. And Holy Spirit, I just thank you for working and moving in worship. God, would you speak to your people? Would you encourage them? Would you give them hope? would you just allow us to better see you in Scripture? And Lord, I also just want to pray for America. As we celebrated, America just turned 246 years old this last week. God, would you continue to pour out a blessing on America? Would you heal our land? God, we openly repent as a church. We have blown it. We have sinned. And God, we ask for your grace and your mercy, your forgiveness. But God, would you allow your favor to settle in on your church, on your people, in our country, God? In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Thank you. Okay, let's go ahead and start in verse 24. If you don't have your Bibles, the scripture's right there on the screen as well. So this is the New Living Translation. It says this. It says, Paul is saying, I am glad when I suffer for you in my body. What? That's so weird. What a statement. I am glad when I suffer for you in my body, for I'm participating in the sufferings of Christ that continue for his body, the church. This is an amazing statement. This is not something that I would want to say. because I know that there are so many people who have suffered from physical pain, that are in the midst of suffering in pain, or just like this constant burden. But Paul here is in house arrest. He is in prison, and his body is suffering literally because of the work and the effort of the gospel. He is wanting to write to the churches, to encourage the churches, to be a missionary, and in doing so, he is putting himself in physical harm. Look at what it says in Peter, how he describes physical pain. 1 Peter, it says this, gives us some insight. Chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. So then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourself with the same attitude he had and be ready to suffer too. Be ready to suffer too. For if you have suffered physically for Christ, you have finished with sin. You won't spend the rest of your lives chasing after your own desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. Pain is not easy. I hate pain. I don't like it. It feels not good. I like comfort and lazy boy and memory foam. And I believe that miracles happen. I have seen physical miracles happen. People, God healing people. But there is a message that's very clear and repeated many times in the Bible that if you follow Christ, you will suffer. And the Bible is clear about suffering is a part of making a commitment to Christ. Yet suffering can be endured joyfully because it changes lives and it brings people to Christ. And that's hard to hear because I wish I had a message that said, hey, follow Jesus and your life will be perfect. But I'm not a representation of that. And Scripture tells us that that is not true. So how in the heck can we suffer well or suffer with joy or gladness as Christ is our example? That is a hard pill to swallow. I mean, the pain that people go through physically it's just horrifying. And I think the only context that I can give to that would be like a mother in childbirth. So clearly I'm authorized to talk about that, right? I know nothing about it. But I do know that my wife Susie, she had some very difficult deliveries. She had some very difficult pregnancies. Like they say, oh, you have these trimesters, and the first one's rough, but then after that, the morning sickness and the nausea, it goes away, and it's just smooth sailing. Or people, like there's women who just have great pregnancies. They're like, I love how I feel pregnant. Well, that is not my experience, and that is not Susie's experience, because if you're married to somebody who's going through a difficult pregnancy, it's just hard. So she was like nauseous all the time. I mean, throwing up several times a day. And I'm thinking like, okay, let's get to this mysterious first trimester. And that did not matter. It was all the way through. But I'll tell you what, every time that she was in pain, every time that she suffered physically, she was just joyous in anticipation, knowing that, you know what, my body's freaking out, but my baby's being nourished. And she suffered for the life of Lily and for Miles, our kids. And she suffered. She had to get those uncomfortable things, and she got the pillows, and she's sleeping, and it was just, it was bad, right, ladies who have, yeah, it's not fun. But you suffer for the betterment of somebody else. And so I think that's what Paul's kind of talking about. He's saying, you know what? If it requires me to suffer, may it be so your church is glorified. That people come to know the Lord. That people understand the revelation of Jesus. If it requires me to suffer, then so be it for your glory. That's what he's saying. I think the point is, if I can just kind of wrap up suffering. Number one, Christ does see your suffering. He sees your suffering. And then number two, your pain isn't wasted. Your pain is not wasted. I had my other church, there was an elder who lost his wife from cancer. It was a very aggressive form of cancer. Just a beautiful family. They had several kids. She was a principal at a school. She was in her 40s, and she just passed away really early. It was shocking to the whole community. And I remember at his memorial service, he spoke and he says, you know what? God will not waste this pain. And I thought, wow, God will not waste your pain. If it is for the glory of God, let Christ be your example in it. Amen? All right, so moving on, keeping your eyes on God, your season definitely will change. The pain that you're dealing with now will not last forever. I love the next verse, verse 25. It says, God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming the entire message to you. This verse is very personal to me. When I was praying about actually coming to Streams and pastoring, God gave me this verse that he has given me the responsibility, the elders, the leaders, for serving you, the church, and proclaiming the entire message. That's why I love going through books of Bible. I want to teach you the Bible. I want to teach you the Bible. The next couple of verses, it talks about the good news kind of in a bird's eye view. Verse 26, it says, the message was kept secret for centuries and generations, but now, it has been revealed to God's people. Okay, we talked about the secret, undiscovered mysteries of the Bible, right? God wanted them to know the riches and glory of Christ for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. That's the mystery. Christ is with you. You're made in the image of God. He lives with you. He sees your hardships. He's assigned angels over you. This gives you the assurance of sharing in his glory. So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that God has given us. We want to present them to God, perfect in their relationship to Christ. That's why I work. That's why I struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. I want you to be fully mature in Christ. I want you to be growing and developing in character that Christ gives you. So, a couple weeks ago, I was cruising through the channels and I saw this like Mysteries of the Bible Revealed, and it just talked about some different things, and the whole tone of it just set me off. Like, it was just kind of like, there's more to know and da-da-da. But, like, there's a little part of us that like to know these reveal mysteries, right? Because you just want to be a little bit more in tune, right? Be a little bit more in the loop. And you kind of feel like you know a little bit more than the next person, right? Is there anybody else who kind of likes that? Like, you kind of get a little charge. Like, oh, I know a little bit more. Like, I know the real truth behind that story, right? Well, he was talking about Scripture and how it came and, like, the Dead Sea Scrolls and all this stuff. And he talked about this sect that, like, believed that they had extra revelation from Jesus and they wrote these extra books and how they weren't in the Bible. And it just was like, come on, what? And then he talked about, well, if the virgin birth was truly a miracle, then why isn't it in all four Gospels? And I'm like, okay, time out. Like, you're saying if it was written in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, like, then you'd totally believe it? I don't think so, guy. And I just like was like kind of tuned out by this whole thing. And his idea was like there's secret mysteries that were not added in the canonization of the Bible in 1611. And I thought, I don't know that I believe that. I'm not sure. I don't think that God would have sent his son to not tell us the truth of what we need to know. Right? And then I look at this. There's a verse in Jude 1:24. It says, look at what it talks about with like revelation and understanding. It says, now all glory to God. Oh, excuse me. Hold on. Wrong spot. Scratch that. Let's see. 1 Corinthians 8:1-2. It says, we know that we have all knowledge, and knowledge puffs up. It makes you feel good and big, right? But love edifies. If anyone thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing, yet he ought to know. This is saying that, you know what? Love trumps intellect. That God is more impressed by how you love others than what you know. You know, it's just like this. Would you rather have your kids know the make and model of your dishwasher and all the features? Would you rather them know that knowledge, or would you rather use that tool to clean your dishes? So, you know what? I'm the first to stand and say, I don't know all the mysteries of Jesus. But it talks about even that love trumps everything. Like, if you know the angels, if you know the language of the angels, but you have not love, it doesn't mean anything. So Paul tells us clearly, he's saying, hey, look, this message, the secret mysteries, they were hidden for centuries past, but now it's been revealed to God's people. Jesus is God's son who loves you, who died for you, who forgives you, both for the Jews and the Gentile, and he lives within you. That's the mystery. That's the secret revealed. God loves you so much that he died for you, and he wants to be in relationship with you. Colossians, the next chapter, cruising on. Verses 1 through 4, it says, I want you to know how much I have agonized for you and for the church of Laodicea and for many other believers who have never met me personally. I want them to be encouraged. Say encouraged. Encouraged. And knit together by strong ties of love. So Paul is saying, hey, church, the church, they should assemble. They should be together. They should be in person, knitting together in love. He says, I want them to have complete confidence. Say complete confidence. Complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. In him lay all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I'm telling you this so that no one will deceive you with well-crafted arguments. He's saying complete confidence in your salvation. If I were to ask you, how well is your confidence in your salvation? Would you describe it and say, oh, complete confidence? I think for some of us, it's maybe a little cocky to say that. And I've talked to people that's like, you know what, I know Jesus, I love Jesus, I believe that he takes away my sin, that I'm saved by grace. But there's this little part of me that's like, I have to work to keep there. I have to work to fight sin. I have to work to keep my salvation. But look at what Jude says. It says, now all glory to God who is able to keep you. Get that. The glory belongs to who? It belongs to God. Why? Because he keeps you from falling away. Isn't that awesome? He keeps you from falling away, and he'll bring you with great joy into his presence without a single fault. So who is able to keep you from falling away? Is it church attendance? Your grit to just stand and resist sin? Is it your ability to worship and say all the right things and look the right way? I haven't found in the Bible that says once you receive salvation instantly, temptation will leave and you will never deal with sin again. I haven't found that in the Bible. So salvation is kept by God. It's for God's glory. He saves you through Christ. He keeps you from falling away. So verse 4, it says to stay on guard. So we do need to stand guard so that we won't fall into well-crafted arguments. So I just feel like, you know what? These well-crafted arguments, again, I feel like God's given me all that I need to know in His Scripture. And God's word is intended for all people, and therefore all people can understand it. I love the quote, this one guy, Hugh Ross said. He says, if you need a guru or some enlightened person to teach you what the Bible says, then chances are you're dealing with a cult. Because there's this level of like, I'm a little more supreme. I'm a little bit more intellectual. I have a better connection with God. And we shouldn't be that way. We shouldn't be that way. A good pastor shouldn't act as if they're more enlightened than you. They should act more of a servant to you. See, we're all on the same level. God has no favorites. But God is saying, hey, come and follow me. That is the heart. Verse 5, continuing on, it says, for though I'm far away from you, my heart is with you, and I rejoice that you are living as you should, and that your faith in Christ is strong. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus, your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in truth that you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. So he's saying, don't drift away from the truth that you know. It says, let your roots grow deep into God's love. So we should spend time with God. How do you grow your roots in God's love? Well, if I were to tell you, like, this is a horrible example. Are you guys ready for this? Maybe I shouldn't say this. This is not in my notes. But, like, how do you become addicted to cigarettes? You know, like, if you really wanted to put that track, like, hang out with people that smoke. You know, like, go to these places that, like, you'd be able to lay out a text for how you could get to this part. Or how do I get, you know, super smart and get my degree? Or how do I become a doctor? You could lay out a plan for them. Well, the plan to follow Jesus or let your roots grow deep with him is to pray. Talk to God. Involve him in your life. Read the Bible. Be connected to other Christians. Worship God. I love worship. You know what? When I come in to Sunday or when I go to a place, like, it's not necessarily about the goosebumps. I don't have to have the right lighting or just the right song, be in the right mood, and then I'll engage in worship. Worship for me is like, no, 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 this is about you. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you, God, for your love. Thank you that you care for me. Thank you that you see my problems. And this is me just thanking God. And honestly, like, maybe one times out of 10, I'll really feel it. Like, my emotions feel it. But other than that, like, this is me praising God. And that's why I felt like it was so powerful this morning. Like, even in the midst of confusion and the difficulties, just saying, God, here's my story. I need you. Help me. I need your grace. That's how we begin to grow deep in God's love. So let me close with this here. This is the scientific evidence of four. There's a center, the center of Bible engagement. They did this research, and they compiled the extensive research, and they published this article called Understanding the Bible Engagement Challenge, Scientific Evidence of the Power of Four. And so here's what they found. They did this study, and they pulled 40,000 people, ages all the way from 8 to 80. And they wanted to see how people engaged in Scripture. So they compiled the results, and they made a profound discovery. They found that reading your Bible 1 to 2 times a week had little result. You basically had people that felt stagnant in their faith. There was a little bump when it came to 3 times a week, but once you got to 4 times a week, the effects spiked astoundingly. The research literally leaps off the charts, and the findings were profound between the people who read their Bible 4 times a week to 1 time a week or 2 times a week. And here's what they found. They found that loneliness dropped by 30%. Anger dropped by 32%. Bitterness in relationship almost went down half. Like, imagine that, just those three stats. Like, if there was a new drug on the market that said, hey, look, this is going to help you feel less lonely, this will curb your anger issues, this will help you engage in relationships more, and there were no side effects. Like, that would probably cost a lot. Like, the copay on that would be big, right? Well, your copay for having this is get in the scripture 4 times a week. It said that alcoholism dropped by 57%. Sex outside of marriage dropped 68%. Feeling spiritual stagnant dropped 60%. I've been there. Sometimes I just feel like my prayers aren't being heard. Nothing's really going my way. I need to get my word. It says viewing pornography dropped 61%. Sharing your faith jumped up 200%. Discipling others jumped up 230%. There is power in reading your word. So this was a graph that they did, and they looked at different types of groups and how many people read their Bible. And so the red was 0 days, 1 to 3 was yellow, and then just that top portion was 4 to 7 days. So there wasn't very many people that got that primo spot. 4 times or more a week was only 10 to 18%, yet 0 times was 60 to 70%. Guys, these are our neighbors. These are our coworkers struggling in their marriages. You are, Christ lives in you. You're the hope. You have a message. If God's impacted your life, you're the hope. Invite him to eat pizza with you on Wednesday. But you're the hope. And we need to take the message to the world. And I know that being a Christian isn't an easy path, but it's our heart to get you plugged in. So maybe you need to download the Bible app. There's a great Bible app for that. And I don't want to get all religious in this. There's no shame here. If you don't get the 4 times, then, oh man, God's not going to give me the thing, the stats. Like, no, it's not like that. I remember this one time I was on a missionary journey, and the worship team can come up. I'll kind of close with this. But I went to Thailand, and Susie thought it was, you know, just to surprise me. And in my luggage, she hid all these letters. And she gave me a card, and she says, open this when you're on the plane. And so right when I got on the plane, I made sure that was in my travel on, and I read it. And she says, in your luggage is hidden different cards and notes for you. So this one was open on day 3, open on day 5, open on day 7. And I would look forward to reading those notes. Guys, this is the love letter that God's given us. Like, I didn't feel religious about reading those notes. Oh, shoot. In 2 days, I'm going to have to read that letter. I wasn't feeling that way. And I know that sometimes that reading your Bible feels stagnant, but stick with it. Let God speak to you in this. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would, in your word, give us complete confidence, complete assurances of your love for us, that the power of your grace far exceeds our weakness. God, for those who are lonely, those who are hurting, those who are dealing with physical pain, God, I pray right now just a touch from you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for bringing us together. In Jesus' name. And if you need prayer, we have a prayer team over here. Maybe you have questions, the things that maybe I said didn't make sense, that you want to recommit your life to God, or you have questions about your faith. I would love to talk with you. We could send you home with some different books, but there's no strings attached. But if you need prayer, we would love to pray with you. You can come on down, and let's go ahead and stand as we close in worship.